Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Fightful Prediction Show. And this time around, we have a doubleheader because we will be talking about WWE King and Queen of the Ring and AEW Double or Nothing. And joining me this time is the wonderful Charlie from Wrestle Purists. Charlie, how are you?
Hello, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm in Toronto still, currently being Canadian, and it's really nice and hot here. Like, it's the summer has just hit, and it's so weird because when I came to Toronto, it was snowing and it was freezing, and now it's like fully summer weather, so it's quite like the adjustment. It just feels like a totally different place. But how are things back in England?
They're all right. The weather's actually quite decent today. It's been raining for like the past 3 days, so it's a nice change of pace to have some sunshine again.
Yeah. Whereabouts in England are you?
I'm in Hertfordshire, so just outside of London.
Oh, okay, cool. I don't think I've been there. I used to live in London, though, for like, about 10 years.
Yeah, it's a nice enough area. It's great for commuting for wrestling, though, because I'm so close to London, so.
Yeah, you go to a lot of wrestling shows.
I do.
And you always seem to be coming back from a show when you're doing Wrestle Purists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll come in. It's just like, yeah, I just got home. Like, come here now.
Yeah. You're keeping this scene alive over there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So hello to everyone in the chat. Hello, Ace Shock. That's someone's name I remember. Charlie's Fightful Debut. Is this your Fightful Debut, Charlie?
Oh, awesome. I think it is on the main channel, yeah.
Chuck, And my God, that's Charlie. It is indeed. Yeah. The girls are taking over for this big pay-per-view weekend. So everyone, get your predictions in. We're doing both shows. We're going to start with WWE because they come first on the calendar. And, you know, I think like, let's be honest, me and Charlie are probably going to have a better time talking Double or Nothing. So we'll do WWE first and then we'll do Double or Nothing. But yes, get your predictions in, get those super chats in. And while you think about who's going to be crowned King and Queen of the Ring, let's hear a word from our great overlord, Sean, and our sponsors at online.
BetOnline.ag is the official betting partner of Fightful. 100% of the time when you get the odds from Fightful, they are coming from BetOnline.ag. And it's not just wrestling. It's not just MMA and boxing. It's football. It's basketball, baseball, hockey. They have the earliest lines. You can bet big with the high limits and rebet functionality. They have the fastest payouts with winnings paid in minutes and the industry's best bonuses on every qualifying deposit. They've been trusted for 25 plus years. It's not some fly-by-night company. BetOnline AG has been there. They've done that. In addition, they're trusted by millions. They've got VIP rewards programs and a ton of popular games. BetOnline.ag, that's where I go to make my bets. That's where I suggest you go to, my friends. Please just bet what you can and bet responsibly.
BetOnline.ag. Okay, me and Charlie are ready to help you decide who you're going to bet on this weekend. We're going to start with King and Queen of the Ring. Shall we start with who you think is going to be the King of the Ring? So, of course, we are recording this before SmackDown, so we don't have the full match yet, but it is going to be Gunther versus Randy Orton. Versus either Randy Orton, sorry, or Tama Tonga, the winner of that match. Charlie, who do you see putting on the crown after Saturday?
I think it's got to be Gunther, right? Like, it just makes sense for, like, he needed something to do after losing the belt to Sami at Mania and King of the Ring. I think it'd be quite the gimmick for him to pull off. So, I'm going to.
Yeah, I think Gunther, because I think the King of the Ring gimmick is kind of silly in a way. Like, you know, getting the full outfit, a little bit silly. I think it's way better on a heel. And I think just with the way things are now, you need a heel that's going to, like, kind of scoff at the pageantry of it, but, like, actually be like, but I am legitimately, like, the King of the Ring because I'm the best. And he had that great Intercontinental title run. They need to give him something else to do. So I think that, yes, Gunther is going to win. Any idea who you think his opponent is? I think that Gunther and Randy Orton would probably be, like, a good match. But I don't see Tama losing unless, like, shenanigans. Yeah. But then, of course, if you put Tama in the final, he's going to have to lose. So I'm going to say it's Randy Orton who gets a, like, I don't know, non-clean win or something, or a DQ or something on SmackDown.
Yeah, I can see Randy winning because it's a Saudi pay-per-view as well. So they're going to want, like, as much star power on it as possible. So I think Randy winning is probably the safe bet there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. Okay, up next, we'll do Queen of the Ring. So it's Lyra Valkyria from Ireland, one of my fellow Irish ladies. And she's either taking on Nia Jax or Bianca Belair. Okay, once again, I think heels do better with the gimmick. And I think that Nia Jax would be proper annoying as Queen of the Ring. And I think she's going to take it. I mean, she did Cargill. I think Bianca, they're going to do her coming in hurt on SmackDown.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be Nia.
I think it's going to be Nia as well. I think they're going to go for heels for both of them. I would love to see Lyra win because I think she could actually have a lot of fun with that gimmick. But I don't know, man. They're really in on Nia at the moment and they're giving her a lot of spotlight, it feels like. So I wouldn't hate it. I think it'd be pretty fun to see her with the Queen of the Ring.
Yeah, I think it'd be really cool for her, and I'm really glad how they've used her so far in the main roster. But it's just like the Naya's character, I can just see like fitting with just having that, you know, like I can't see her being champion or anything like that, but having like that queen gimmick is just, I think, maybe a good thing to give her. Loving this prediction from Fightful. I predict Stephanie Jace will win Queen of the Ring. One day. That wasn't me that wrote that, by the way. That was Sean. I'm not sure. We've got Nicholas 763 saying, I think Naya wins. I think Naya too. Josh here says, I want Gunther and Naya to win, though, but the story seemed better leading up to SummerSlam. Yeah, the winners will get a title shot. Oh, it's Sean. Thank you, Sean. The winners will get a title shot at SummerSlam, which I still think, makes Naya probably queen. With Gunther, I don't know how they'd work that. But I'm not sure. Like, the only person I could see, like, taking that loss would be Randy, but I absolutely don't see Randy doing the King of the Ring gimmick at all. So I'm going to stick with my... Actually, it would be pretty funny, but I'm going to stick with my bets of Gunther and Naya being our king and queen. Okay, then we have the other non-tournament matches. So why don't we keep with the women and say Becky Lynch versus Liv Morgan. Who have you got for this one, Charlie?
Ooh. Is Liv... She's full heel right now, isn't she? Like, she's, like, completely turned.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
See, I don't think she's going to win yet. I think Becky's going to retain here, but I would love Liv to win. Like, I think that she's got so much potential as champions, and she's never really got to, like, dig her teeth into a reign properly. So I would love to see Liv win here, but no, I think Becky's going to take it and hold that belt till SummerSlam at least.
I would love to know exactly when Rhea Ripley will be back, because I think... Yeah. Liv should be champion when Rhea is back. So I don't know if this is like too early for her. I could see her win it. And you know, she's got this whole storyline with the Judgment Day where she might be like getting in there with Dom. And I think, for Rhea to come back, like Liv should absolutely be champion. And I think it would be good if she was well-established champion, so, you know, being given a proper run, because we're, like, I'm sure, like, a few months out from Rhea coming. And Becky's been, like, she's just been in a really strange place recently, hasn't she? Like, the WrestleMania match and kind of how, you know, facing, like, Rhea and just kind of how the crowds have acted to her. I'm going to go with Liv for this one. I'm going to see if they actually put it on at this time. Nicholas says, I think Liv wins. It's a perfect story to crown her. I also think they take the title off Becky until she resigns, if she's not already. I mean, like, in my opinion, Becky definitely resigning. Like, I can't, with Seth resigning, like, I can't see her going anywhere else. It is funny in WWE at the minute that they just, like, have so many people that they're, like, have been teasing that they might leave, or, like, what are they going to resign? Like, Seth and Becky and Drew. And, like, I heard today, like, Natalya hasn't resigned. And I'm just, like, these are, like, the most obvious people that are going to stay, like, in my opinion. It's, like, I don't see, like, Natalya, like, jumping ship or anything. It's just, like, these, like, a weird team. But, like, Becky, I think, is, like, a WWE lifer unless, like, something really happens. Let's move on to Sami Zayn versus Chad Gable versus Bronson Reed. Triple threat match for the Intercontinental Championship. I feel like Bronson is here to take the pin. Who is he going to take the pin from? Sami, you know, he had a great WrestleMania match. He had that amazing moment in Montreal that really, really touched my newly formed Canadian heart. It was, like, so good. And I don't know if they're ready to take this belt off him yet. I know they've been doing this storyline with Chad for a long time. I think he's going to retain here. I don't think this is like the time or place to put it on chat. How are you thinking about this one?
Yeah, I think Sammy's retaining here as well. It's like, it feels like his Mania win wasn't even that long ago. And really, it wasn't. Mania was only like last month. But he's done so much with the belt already, it feels like. But I feel like this story with Chad Gable is going to go a lot longer. And Sammy's retaining here. And yeah, Bronson Reed is just kind of here to eat the pin, unfortunately, for him.
Mm-hmm. Josh says, Sammy for sure, but Otis turning to the dark side and Chad walking out champ would be great. But Sammy. Yeah, I can see Chad being the one that takes it off him, yeah. But I just don't see it at this moment. Maybe it's a Money in the Bank thing, or maybe it's a SummerSlam thing, but just not yet. Not Saudi Arabia. Okay, and then we have, finally, for King and Queen of the Ring, Cody Rhodes versus Logan Paul.
Isn't Logan US champion?
Sorry?
Isn't Logan US champion?
Yeah, but he conned Cody into making it just for his belt. So they're not like unifying or anything. There's no way that Cody's losing this at all.
Absolutely not.
At all. I think the only thing we can predict here is like what kind of wild like shenanigans might happen. You know, if we get like Jake Paul or something coming in, or anyone that like wants a Saudi payday, you know, making the flight. I don't know, but I think the match is going to be fun. I think that Cody, you know, wants to make his title reign full of like really exciting great matches, because Roman, you know, great champion, wasn't wrestling much, and his matches were kind of a certain style. And I think Cody's a more like diverse wrestler that will have like a distinct type of match with every opponent. So I'm very like excited to see what he does with Logan Paul. And I do think that Logan Paul is always impressive, you know, in his matches. So I think it's going to be really fun. But there's no way that Cody is losing this match. This is like the easiest one to predict.
Yeah, absolutely. Cody's absolutely retaining, but Logan bumps like crazy, and I think he's going to bump like crazy here, and they're just going to put on a bit of a spectacle, I reckon, and I wouldn't be surprised if someone random from Logan's friend group makes an appearance, because you never know with Logan Paul. He could bring absolutely anyone with him.
Yeah, he absolutely could. I think that it's one of those things where, like, they're getting a match that has such an obvious winner as their, like, I'm assuming that it's main event. But at least they're getting, like, a fun combination. So, I wouldn't be, you know, mad. So, that's King and Queen of the Ring. Only 5 matches after that. They like to keep them short in WWE these days. But you know where they don't like to keep it short? In AEW. So let's move on to AEW. And guys, get your predictions for this, because I think that Charlie and I will have a lot to say. Charlie, I haven't listened to your Dynamite review yet, and I was going to. And then
driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
You need reliable appliances to help you conquer the day. And Menards is the one-stop shop for huge savings on new energy-efficient appliances. We carry the largest in-stock selection, starting at low prices and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Upgrade today and save big money on new appliances right now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And I thought it's better that I don't, so that maybe like I don't know exactly what you think of
it. We didn't do a Dynamite review yesterday because of everyone's had a really chaotic week. So we didn't actually do one last night. So this will be the first time I'm actually talking about Dynamite and AEW this week.
Okay. That's good. So I would have known anyway. Okay, well then I'm so excited to talk to you about AEW. Where will I start? You know they're going to add more matches too. Okay, I'm not going to start there. The order that they put these on Wikipedia is interesting. Okay, I'm going to start with Trent Barreto versus Orange Cassidy. Okay, I know they've been doing this feud, you know, for a while and stuff, and obviously they have tons of background. I'm still not sure if it's fully should be a pay-per-view match or if it's Tony, you know, like he can't do a show without Orange Cassidy, it feels like, but he loves to. Tony books in a way where it's like everything has to come late at the pay-per-view, like we can't like keep it going, like he does that. So I can't say that this is the one I'm most for, especially because the card is so good. But I'm gonna predict that Trent wins this one because I think that's the more interesting outcome. How do you feel about this?
Yeah, I think that Trent is gonna get the win here, and we're going to see one of these guys fully get involved with the Don Callis family, I think, coming out of this match. But I still don't know which one, because I know that he's been like sniffing around Orange Cassidy and OC's just teamed up with Ospreay. But Ospreay seems like he's on his way out of the Don Callis family anyways. So I think it's going to be Trent Barreto that ends up with them coming out of this match. But yeah, I was surprised this was on the pay-per-view without a stipulation added. But when you've got anarchy in the arena and a still like a barbed wire cage match going on as well, like I guess that you couldn't overload it. But I don't know. I think that they're going to have a good match. Is it a pay-per-view match?
In Tony Khan's universe, can you imagine a heel Orange Cassidy or like what that would look like? Or does that excite you? Or are you like, no?
I don't even know how he would play a heel character. Like, he would have to change a lot about his gimmick, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know that I could imagine it.
I know. It's like the gimmick is, it's a really good gimmick, but it can feel like he's always doing the same thing, like playing the same person, like not the same evolution or like back and forth that you get with other people. So it would be interesting to see him do something else. I just don't know how he like portray it and pull it off like within that character. We got some Josh here. It says, if Trent doesn't win, then why even turn him heel? I'm taking Trent, but I'm like 5% confident and that should be a Dynamite main event. Yeah, it should be like a special edition of Dynamite main event. Like maybe not Grand Slam, that's like too high, but yeah. Something it's like one like a little bit lower, like a breach break or something. Next up, let's go for, okay, we mentioned the Don Callis family, so Roderick Strong versus Will Ospreay. I find this one really hard to predict because it's for the international championship, right? Everyone thinks that Ospreay is the next AEW champion, probably at Wembley. So then do you make him international champion? And then you could maybe eventually merge the belts, but I'm not sure if Tony thinks the same as a lot of us about the too many belts thing. Or do you have him take a loss here so that he's not holding a belt and then can go after the world championship. It's difficult to predict. There's the Don Callis factor. I think that Ospreay is going to lose, and I think it's going to be due to Don Callis doing something, like him not destroying Roddy in the way that like Don wants him to, and then Don like using that to like turn Ospreay and cost him the match. But it's a harder one to predict with everything that's going on, and Ospreay's like incredibly fast rise in the company. Though I will say, if he wins the international championship, I mean, he could defend internationally, he could come back to the UK and defend shows and stuff, but I don't know if they want Ospreay doing that, because he's such a valuable commodity right now for the company that, like, God, if something happened, that would not be good. But what are your thoughts on Ospreay, Roderick Strong, and what could happen here?
I have so many thoughts on this. I think that Ospreay's going to win. Okay. I don't think he's going to be going after the world championship at Wembley at the moment. Mm-hmm. I think that was maybe the idea for a while, because he came into the company so hot. But
yeah,
there's still the Hangman factor, and Hangman still hasn't come back yet. So I've got a feeling that they're going to be finishing that story at Wembley between Swerve and Hangman. And what's better to do with Will Ospreay than have him be your international champion? He is like the most worldwide wrestler they have on the roster right now. So yes. I think that he's winning that international belt. And I have a bit of a sneaking feeling he just misses wrestling on the indies, and he wants any excuse to be able to. And this is like the perfect reason to like just go around with the international belt, rep AEW, and do what he does best.
So I don't want Ospreay to face Swerve like at Wembley and beat him, right? Mm. Like, I don't want that because of Swerve. Nothing against Ospreay, just because I want like Swerve to have like an upgrade, and we'll talk about him later. But he's definitely become champion in a moment where there's like a lot of other shit going on, right? With a lot of other guys, and we'll get to that. It's just funny, like, yeah, Ospreay bringing the title back to the UK and defending it internationally would be funny, because like, were you at the Rev Pro show, him and Oku, like his last match there? And that was not long ago.
No, it was like, I'm not wrestling on the indies anymore. It's just like, I don't believe you. Like, you'll be back.
Yeah, but it would be so Ospreay to do that. Obviously, like, he loves Rev Pro so much, and like has helped them so much, and I'm sure he proper misses it. I'm sure he proper like misses the locker room, everything, and kind of like helping out the guys there. And I know, like, when I used to work at Rev Pro, he was just the guy that watched everyone's matches and helped everyone and gave like really constructive feedback. But it's just funny because like, yeah, he hasn't even been away for that long, and it would be funny if then he was like, hey guys, I'm back. This time with the international championship, but he would be a really great person to hold it. I just, you've kind of convinced me, but a little bit of me still thinks that like, if he's handed his first loss because it's what, like, because of Don Callis, and it ends this whole Callis thing. And then he can do something like with them. Like, I'd love to see him probably feud with Takeshita, you know, and like Takeshita needs something really great, especially after like that interview he recently gave, where it seemed like, yeah, he wasn't really that happy. Like, that would be really epic. But okay, I'm not 100% convinced it's going to be Ospreay. I think this is the one we're divided on. But I think, yeah, we both agree that he probably shouldn't, like, the him headlining All In thing was just, I know why everyone jumped to it, because of course it makes sense, like, the biggest show is in England, he's from then, but the whole time I was like, that's Swerve. I just imagine Swerve like scrolling the timeline and being like, oh, that's just no. Yeah, okay, let's go for one. Do you want to do Adam Copeland versus Malakai Black next?
Yeah, let's Let's talk about that.
This match is happening. This is a barbed wire steel cage match. So we've got a lot going on there. I am interested to see how this structure will look, like visually, like barbed wire steel cage, like how they'll do it in AEW. But like, I've never been an Edge person. I think I've watched Edge's like entire career. Like, he's never been one of my guys. But I think he's done really well in AEW, actually. And there's something like very likable and earnest about him where, you know, he's like, come on, guys, this is great. Like, I love being here. There's something really genuine. And I think like that like genuineness has made me like him more than I've probably ever liked him. But now he's going into like this spooky shit that he didn't get to do with Judgment Day, basically, with Malakai Black, who someone that I, to be brutally honest, I think that guy has terrible ideas, like terrible shit. Like that he's so gets to like indulge. I don't think you're as creative and smart as you think you are, Tommy, and but okay. And it's just, this is just not my cup of tea. Like, I think if the two of them, and the other thing is like I had such a great match on Dynamite where he was just, you know, like being a wrestler, and it's like, imagine if you like put your gimmick into that and like left the like spooky shit behind. But what are your thoughts on what's going on here with Malakai and Adam?
See, I am an Adam Copeland fan and have been since like pretty much the entire time I've watched wrestling. I've always been an Edgehead. Why he keeps going back to the spooky stuff, I don't know. He really loves to tap into this and I never understand why.
But do you think, sorry to interrupt, it's because he bought a ton of outfits and stuff to do the Judgment Day thing that didn't pan out? And he's like, look, I spent thousands of dollars on these. I need to wear them.
That would be incredible if that was the reason. Honestly, it'd be, I wouldn't put it past him, honestly. But yeah, I don't know. I am very much someone of the belief that Malakai Black can still be a great wrestler. I think that he used to be incredible and that he can get back to that at some point. But the spooky stuff does get in the way a lot. And I need less lore from him and more wrestling, please. Like, but I don't know what this match looked like. But I think that Adam Copeland's retaining. I don't think he's going to be dropping the belt just yet.
You think that Malakai Black's going to take a pinfall?
I think he's going to take a loss. I don't know if it will be a pinfall. I think it will be a loss. Yeah.
Do you think we see Gangrel?
Yeah, probably. After the bloodbath spot, we are absolutely seeing Gangrel in AEW again.
It's so funny, the Brood stuff, because like, so I have seen like the entirety of Adam Copeland's like mainstream wrestling career. So I remember when he came in, and my favorite Edge memory is when he was Sable's mystery partner at SummerSlam 98, and they just tagged together, and then like they never, like nothing ever happened from it. Like, it was just that, like she asked the like spooky guy that doesn't speak and he was like, yeah, sure, and then that was it. And I always find that so funny. And the Brood like iconic entrance, like that is all like so memorable, great song, all of that. Gangrel's definitely a character that like sticks in your head. But Edge was definitely more successful when he wasn't doing that shit. Like, he was more successful, like his rated R era and all like that. But there's obviously like a little part of him that just really wants to explore this kind of dark sidey, like Undertaker-y stuff. And then he did get very into like the acting and stuff when he came back to WWE. It's kind of like trying to like merge those things. So But he's on a really great run as the TNT champion. I would like that to continue. I would much rather he was doing Coke Open all the time than doing like this spooky stuff of like, oh, I'm going to the dark side and like taking like Malachi Black taking his wedding ring and all stuff like that. I'm just like, it's not for me. So I'm going to pick Cope to retain because also I didn't want to like Malachi Black doing spooky shit all over the TNT title too.
We don't need that right now. Not when they're going into like the summer period, which is like the hottest period for AEW.
Yeah. I just, part of me really does think that Cope wants this dark side turn so much that they'll just give the belt to Malachi and then he can go like fully doing all this shit, and it will be, it won't be good TV for me. I'll just say that it won't be good for me. Let's move on to the Bang Bang Gang versus the Death Triangle. So this, how I understand it, is are they having a match on Collision or Rampage to see if it's actually for the championship? Have I got that right? And right now.
I haven't really been on Twitter like the last couple of days, so if someone in chat could let us know.
Well, they're definitely having a match. Whether or not it's for the Trios Championship, who knows? Okay, this one. So you're an Edgehead, Jay White girl, an OG Jay White girl. So I want him to lose. I want the Death Triangle to take the Trios Championship just to like get Jay out of this, like honestly. Because I think Jay would be a great heel to feud with Swerve, like a really great heel to feud with Swerve. I think the promos would be excellent. I think that he would also be great to feud with Ospreay, given like all their history and every time they've interacted. Yep. And how much people were into them having an interaction like recently as well. So I want the Death Triangle to win this match. Do I think they're going to? I don't know, because every time I think that Jay's going to drop these fucking Trios titles, like, it just doesn't happen. So I'm going to say, hopefully, Death Triangle. How do you feel about this one?
I'm really excited for this match. I think this match is going to be great. I also want Jay White to get out of the Trios division. We very much agree on this. I want him to be back in the singles divisions, especially when we're looking at Ospreay potentially being a champion. And like you said, they have insane amounts of history. And I think there's a lot of potential for Jay White to be like this heel that these champions go up against and like really like test themselves like on the mic a lot of the time, because if Jay White is one of the best speakers in AEW and hasn't really had a chance to show it all. But and I love Death Triangle as a trio. I think they're incredible, and I would love for them to have another run with the belts, because there's a lot of fun trios they could be having like crazy matches with. So I think that's how we should be approaching this, and I think the Death Triangle should win. Will they win? Not sure.
I feel the same. Jay White is stuck in the Trios vortex, Darren.
Yeah, he has been forever. It's terrible.
It's so hard. It's always been hard being a Jay fan ever since he came back as a character. It's always been hard. He has so many great skills that he's just not being able to use being stuck in the Trios division. And I haven't liked the usage of Jay White like since like day one, and I kind of always wonder why. I think my theory is kind of like Jay is just not from Tony's era of New Japan. I feel like, and he just like, I'm not gonna say like he doesn't get him or whatever, but he certainly doesn't peg him as high as I would have pegged him. And maybe Jay was closer to siding with WWE and then didn't work out because of their transition. And then it's never good when you feel like someone's second choice. I get that. So maybe there's like a bit of that. But I wish you would get out of this trios division. Like, I really do. Their entrance is fire. That's amazing. But I just want to see him like blossom into like this great, the great singles like character that he could be. And he'd be, I just like fantasize about like him and Swerve, the shit they could say to each other, where they could be. And then him and Ospreay too is just a no-brainer of greatness. Let's go next to, okay, this is a championship eliminator match, the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship, John Moxley versus Takeshita. What have you got for this one, Charlie?
Ooh, it being an eliminator match and not straight up for the belt makes me think that Takeshita is actually getting the win here, which it's going to be real interesting because of, I don't know how you feel about John Moxley being IWGP World Champion. I love it. I think it's great. And I think that more belts being swapped between the companies in this like time period leading up to Forbidden Door is something they should actually embrace, and someone from New Japan should win like the international belt or something like that. But yeah, I think Takeshita is going to win here. I don't know when they would do the like the rematch for the belt, maybe on a New Japan pay-per-view, and they like do that sort of link up, because I know Moxie has a match against Evil at some point soon as well, which is something else. But I think Takeshita gets the win here.
I would love Takeshita to get the win. I'm not sure where they do the match either, just because Takeshita not being a New Japan guy, like the next pay-per-view is Forbidden Door, and like that's kind of like strange. But I think it's really cool Moxley having that belt, because I think New Japan has been like very stale for like a very long time, and the belts just seem to be passed between the same people. And certainly like his upcoming opponent Evil very much does not inspire people. And you know, and Naito feels like it just like furniture, like I don't know. I don't think anyone's getting greatly excited by him. So the idea of putting the belt on Moxley was really, really cool, and I totally support that. And I really want Takeshita to like do great things. So I'm really hoping that Takeshita wins, and I'm hoping like that's why it's an eliminator. And then, yeah, Moxley can get his win back at another time. But it would be cool if the match happened in New Japan rather than like, because I don't think it will happen on Forbidden Door. But I feel like it will probably end up being like a Dynamite match, unfortunately, when like made for a better stage. But doing it in New Japan would definitely be cooler.
Yeah, absolutely. And like doing it in Japan as well, because I know they've got like a bunch of their US shows coming up this summer as well. But I think that Moxie versus Takeshita in Japan is like genuine like match of the year potential, like because of that crowd that would go absolutely crazy for that. And obviously the crowds don't always make the matches, but I think that that match in Japan would be different. Like it would just be like another level. Like it's the same with like the Danielson Okada match. Like that was just a different level when it was done in Japan. Like, and I know that's not exactly fair because Brian got injured in America, but even then, like I don't know, some matches like need that sort of atmosphere. And I think like the way this partnership goes, like they need to have more of a back and forth like that. So like do the eliminator at Double or Nothing, and then do the defense in Japan. It makes sense. It's a Japanese belt, like, so they should be doing more defenses out there.
Takeshita getting a big moment in Japan and in New Japan would be like really awesome for him too.
Absolutely.
That. Okay, next up we have. And by the way, I'm not reading these in the weird order that they're put down. So if we get to the end and I've skipped my accent, like please let me know. Shall we do the three-way FTW rules match for the FTW championship? We have Chris Jericho versus Hook versus Shibata. You sound so excited by this.
I can't wait.
Match of the night.
Every show needs a snack break. So
every show, according to Tony Khan, needs a Chris Jericho match, because we always get so close to like there not being one. And then he sneaks in. So this FTW for the World Championship Learning Tree character that Jericho's doing is fucking interesting, I will say. Like, it's interesting and not in a positive way. I think it's very strange how it's all come about and how we're all accepting it. Maybe not us, but like the crowds kind of now seem to be going along with it. But I'm also like, I'm not sure that he's playing it right. Like, because surely the character is, so Jericho is a delusional man who thinks that everyone can like learn from him, and that he's helping these guys, that he's actually hampering and like sticking in a vortex. But then him acknowledging stuff like the Jericho vortex, or like that whole bit on Dynamite was like complete fumbling of him like saying make it a three-way, and then the commentators being like, we just got a text. Like, that was like really bad. And to steal it from I think it was either Sidgwick or Hamflin on What Culture, that if Jericho's gimmick is meant to be that he knows everything and he's so great, him fumbling that announcement was just really funny. As in, like, yeah, like, surely you should know cues and timing, sir. But yeah, I think like the stuff where he's trying to acknowledge what people say about him, like it's a vortex, or when he was like, oh, hi guys, I love getting TV time. Like, I don't think it works with the character for him to be acknowledging that. So it's like, are you delusional, or are you completely self-aware about what people are saying, and you're just trying to show that you know what we're all saying? Like, which one is it? Because I don't think it like works both ways. But anyway, I think he's winning this match, and per Shibata is probably going to take a pinfall. How have you been finding it under the learning tree the past few weeks?
It's so painful, and I really, really hate it. Like, there's not a lot that I actively dislike about AEW at the moment, but this Jericho run is it, and I go on rants about it every time we review Dynamite. I'm just like, I can't do it anymore. I don't understand how the character's getting over with the live crowds. Like, maybe they just think it's funny that he's embracing the stuff that they're chanting, and he's getting reactions, and it's greatly upsetting to me. But yeah, he's probably gonna win. Shibata getting pinned really upsets me as well, because of why is this what Shibata's doing? Like, why are we taking the fact that this man can wrestle again for granted? But I don't know, they need to do something different with Jericho, and they need to do something different with Hook. This is like not benefiting him at all. It's been for him. Like, I don't know, this whole story has been a train wreck, and just retire the FTW belt, please. Just get rid of it. It's not helping anyone.
It's been such a train wreck, and like everything that goes around it is so funny. Like the recent report where it's like, hey, I knew people were going to tell me to retire, and this is exactly what I want. And it's like, if you're being completely honest, like, no, that's not what you want. Like, no one wants people chanting for you to retire. I was there at Dynasty, and like, despite my feelings on everything, I honestly thought the Dynasty, it was uncomfortable in the crowd. Like, the vitriol was so much that even I was a bit like, okay guys, like, maybe we should, like, this is getting intense, like the vitriol. And I don't think anyone actually wants that. Totally fine if people like hit your heel character, but I don't think that's kind of what was happening there. But the whole learning tree character, like, to use a very English expression, it's like, it gives you the ick. Like, there's something about it where it's just like, it's not just like, oh, I'm not really, like, the Malakai Black stuff, I could just like roll my eyes at and be like, this is like, this is not for me, this is a like dumb whatever. But this one, it's like, It's just
actively makes me cringe. Like, it makes me not want to watch.
Yeah. I think, I mean, I don't know how he could have played it other than, like, just taking, you know, some time off, which he doesn't want to do, like, never seems to want to do. But, there's just, and Big Bill, like, Big Bill was doing pretty well. Like, Big Bill had a great run with Ricky Starks, and, like, God knows where Ricky Starks is, and if he might ever come back to, like, rescue Bill, but Ricky definitely got stuck in the Jericho vortex because, like, if I remember correctly, he got put in that Jericho feud after he'd had that great, like, run with MJF, where he came off really well there, like, promo-wise, and then the Jericho thing seemed to, like, last so long, like, that kind of trapped him. And then he had a great time with, like, Big Bill, obviously. Like, there was more for him with CM Punk, but that didn't work out. But now I'm like, do you think Ricky could come back here, or do you think he's done? Because I honestly think he's done, like, with the whole promotion, not just with Big Bill.
Yeah, I think there's a chance that Ricky does end up leaving AEW this year. And honestly, even if he's not leaving and he is coming back and they're working out his creative, I don't want him in this spot because of no one deserves to be getting stuck in the Jericho vortex twice. Like, that's just unfair. Like, let him do something else. Like, Ricky's not my favorite wrestler ever, but I think that he has certain uses on AEW TV, and he's so over with the crowds. The crowds love him. So you'd be able to insert him into a story so easily. But please, God, not Jericho. If he is coming back, please don't put him across from Jericho again. That's not fair.
No. And I do love your point about, like, we should be making better use of Shibata, because it is like a miracle, like, he's in there, in the ring. It's completely wild. Like, you know, this man got his brain removed, allegedly. and now we all feel like we've had our brains removed watching this learning tree shit, you know?
Yeah.
It ain't good. Let's move on to a women's match. There's two women's matches on this card. Wow. For Tony Khan, that's something. Let's do Timeless Toni Storm versus Serena Deeb. Timeless Toni Storm is for me, I must admit. I'm not a big fan of the character. And I'm not a big fan of a lot of the stuff that goes on around it either. Serena, I think, puts on really good pay-per-view matches, but she just doesn't ever, like, seem to come across well, like, on Dynamite and get the crowd behind them. And she's the heel now, which is so odd after, like, telling her medical history, like, her story. Wild that she's the heel. I think Toni Storm is winning this. I think they're going to keep on going with this, and the Mariah May stuff and the kissing is going to continue. That's what I think about that. Do you have any strong thoughts on the Women's Championship match?
I think it'll be a pretty good match. I think much as it is very weird that they've turned Serena heel after doing, like, the approach they took with her character coming back, it's probably for the best for this dynamic, because the crowd loves Toni so much, they don't want to boo her, and they tried to force it with the Deonna match, and, like, that affected the Revolution match when they had that. And I think flipping Serena and Toni's dynamics is the better choice for both women going into this match, but weird to do it after Serena, like, having such a, like, heartfelt return because of, like, all of the struggles she had. But yeah, Toni's definitely retaining here. The Timeless stuff, it's very hit or miss with me. Sometimes I enjoy it, sometimes I don't know what's going on anymore. I think that she's done some of her best promos with this gimmick, but everything else around it is a bit, she's playing a character on TV. I don't care, it hasn't all got to be for me, sort of thing. But yeah, I think she definitely retains here and probably holds it until All In, to be honest. I reckon that's where she's going to be keeping it till.
Well, as long as she doesn't fucking drop it to Saraya.
Dude, that last year was fucking crazy. And I get, like, Soraya's like British and like, oh god, I have an English person win it all in. It's just like, no, you don't. I'm okay with a British person not winning it all in.
This is not I would have to go into this behind paywall, but I do not like Soraya being in AEW at all. It's bad. It's always been bad. And yes. And read her boyfriend's Twitter anyway. Might be worse. Might be worse than the wives of some wrestlers. But I do like this comment here from folks saying that, like, a sign of where the women's division is kind of a pay-per-view match without it needing being in a title program. And I think that, yeah, the women's division stuff is improving, but it's not improving enough that we have stories that, like, that get big matches that aren't with, like, the belts. I still don't think that the women's division is in a very good place, because with Tony, it does seem that, like, it's just a pay-per-view cycle happens and a woman pops up to challenge her. Like, that's, you know, yeah. Serena Deeb just popped up as her challenger, rather than seeing, like, other things going around where, like, other, you know, women are, like, getting over and, like, moving their way up. Where it just, the division as a whole, it doesn't seem to be, like together, like, the parts are all moving together. It just seems like, okay, this pay-per-view, we need someone for Tony. We'll get into what they're doing with Willow, which, in my opinion, is a lot better. Might be better if the titles were switched, you know, between Willow and Tony. And you had the person that was doing, like, the more, like, gimmicky gimmick, holding the lesser belt, I think might have been better, but, like, that's not where we're at. But I guess since I got into all that spiel, why don't we just talk about Willow and Mercedes here? So how have you felt about Mercedes in AEW? I mean, I was there when she debuted, and you had to do it in Boston, but my God, have we had a lot of time of her kind of feeling, like, out of place, doing promos that didn't really suit her, and it's been many, many weeks. Like, this woman was clearly not cleared and was brought in. I mean, it was, I'm pretty sure it was 10 weeks ago she came in, because, like, that's how long I've been away from the UK. And yeah, it was like 10 weeks ago, and that's been a hell of a long time. But how have you felt about her the past couple of months?
I think it's really clicked the last couple of weeks, especially, like, now that they were properly getting into this feud. And I think the first 2 weeks were really lovely, but that middle chunk was brutal. I love Mercedes. I think she's probably one of the best women's wrestlers of all time. But my God, she is not a promo girl, especially when she's still trying to be a face, or they're trying to have her be a face. It's like, let her be the bitchy heel she was born to be. That is what she is best at. And she's really lent into that. And it's been great those last couple of weeks.
It's been much better. You can't be having what they were doing in the middle was, like, she's trying to get all these catchphrases over, like, I'm the CEO, all this stuff. And then she was mixing it with being serious. So she was, being like, I thought my career might be over and I'm going to cash that check. Or, like, I was, you know, helping my brother and I'm the CEO. And it's like these, it was always like such sharp turns in her promos from, like, trying to be heartfelt to then, like, get all these catchphrases over. And then, like, of all the women in the roster, or maybe all the women in the world, to put opposite her, if you want her to have any chance of being a babyface, like, Willow is not it. Because, like, Willow's the most likable person in the company. Like, straight up, just seems like the nicest person that you couldn't have a problem with. So to try and think that, like, Mercedes could be cheered in any way, like, against Willow is wild. So I'm glad that she is a heel now. Like, she was meant to be, like, she's a straight up heel. I think this match
this match is going to have a ton of pressure on it because it's Mercedes' debut match, but I think they can pull it off. I think Willow is fantastic, and Mercedes is Mercedes. As you said, I think she's one of the best women ever. Like, I agree with that. I think Mercedes is going to win. It's her first match. I think Willow's going to lose her friends. I think she's going to lose Chris and Stokely. I think Stokely would greatly help Mercedes act because she's not a strong promo, and I think he could really help that. And I wouldn't even put it past Mercedes, like, being really, like, aligned with, like, the Bucks and stuff like that, too. And that would actually be good because then the women could have a presence in the biggest storyline that's going on. So I think that'd be cool. So I'm going for Mercedes. What about you?
I also think that Mercedes is winning this match, and that's not a knock on Willow at all. She's done incredible things with this belt in, like, the short amount of time she's had it. But it's Mercedes, and I don't think that there's, like, I wouldn't be upset if she loses, because I think that that's a hell of a statement to make with Willow as a wrestler. Yeah. And I think she has all the potential in the world to be the ace of the women's division, like, within the next 12 months.
For sure.
But I think that Tony Khan is definitely all in on Mercedes being champion. And as you said, like, if she links up with the Elite, which I think she should, I think that this company-wide story should be more prevalent in the women's division as well. I think that she should be an associate with the Elite, and they have a bunch of belts. She's going to have a belt. Like, it makes sense for her to go into that association with the belt. But I think this match is going to be incredible, and I think it's got a lot of potential to be match of the night. Because as much as people are really excited for it, I still don't think... I think people are counting Mercedes out because it's been, like, a year, but she's been training, like, mad just from, like, her Twitter posts and, like, all the stuff she's been posting online. Like, you know, like, she's been very open about how much she's been in the ring, and she's trained in so many different styles since she left WWE as well. I think this is going to be an incredible performance from her.
Yeah, I think it really does have match of the night potential. And I totally think Mercedes is winning, but I do, like, it would be a massive statement if they kept on low, massive. And I think Willow's, like, the one. But maybe freeing Willow of the belt, then wrapping up, I don't think this Mercedes storyline is going to, like, end immediately, but some conclusion to that. Maybe we could have Willow eventually as the women's champion. I would love for her to be the person that, like, dethrones Toni Storm. I always thought she should have been the person that dethroned Jade, but I felt like what happened in the New Japan match with Mercedes, where Willow had to win because Mercedes got injured, I think kind of, like, messed up her AEW trajectory a little bit, because she ended up winning this belt before we got, like, the AEW, like, moment of her winning the belt. And, like, with AEW, like, we'd all been watching her since she was doing, like, Dark and Elevation and stuff, and, like, seeing, like, her rise. Then there was, like, that kind of, like, little bump where she actually got, like, this big reward somewhere else. That was kind of weird how that worked out.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I do also think that run with the belt kind of, like, catapulted her into doing more with AEW, though, on a faster track. I don't think she would quite be in this position yet if that hadn't all happened, to be honest.
Yes.
So it swings around belts, really.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what would you rather do first? Would you rather go with the AEW Championship match or Anarchy in the Arena to close off? Like, what's going to be our main event? Because Tony Khan says there's three main events, but, like, there's not three. Three main events, right? Three main events means that you have none. Like, you need to have one that is your definite main event. So what would you like to talk about now, and what would you like to headline with?
Let's talk about Swerve and Christian.
Okay. Swerve and Christian for the AEW Championship. I think 100% Swerve wins. Like, there's no doubt in my mind. I do think that they've done a good job of making you want to see match, as in, like, wanting to see Swerve kick Christian's ass, because Christian is a very good heel and he's very good at getting heat. And I think that's a great thing to do if there's no, like, if we all know who's going to be the winner, right? At least make it, like, a match that we want to watch. I know some people have thought of Christian getting this spot as like being like the king or whatever, but I think we're in an interesting time in AEW right now with the other storylines that are going on. Mm-hmm. That's maybe like not the best for Swerve, but I think that this match will be good, and I think that they've done some good stuff like recently. I thought that what they did on Dynamite was great. I loved Prince Nana coming back. Yeah. And I'm not going to say like it's been really since Swerve won. It hasn't been like a disaster, like really bad or whatever, but he's definitely not the main feature of the company of Dynamite. And it is good that they've kind of like integrated him into what's going on with the Elite, but with what they're doing, like the Bucks are fully like main characters, like they're kind of running the show, and you know, so yeah, Swerve's gonna win, we can agree on that. But how have you felt about how they've built up this match?
I really liked Christian being like his first pay-per-view challenger. It makes sense because of his history, like Christian being associated with Nick Wayne. It all made a lot of sense, and it is like, I like that it's like adjacent to the stuff going on with the Elite, like, so it's still like it's involved, and it's like this company-wide storyline is affecting matches like this, but it's not so intertwined you're losing the fact that it's a world championship match. Like it's been like, you can definitely tell that they've struggled to balance it, but I think they've done a pretty decent job for it, and I was invested from day one with this match because this is the match that I wanted for Double or Nothing. But I think they've done a really good job of getting everyone else on board with it and telling the story. And I think Swerve has kind of had the odds stacked against him in terms of like being a standout champion because of everything else going on around the world title scene. But I think he's done a pretty great job of making himself feel still like an important person on these shows. And I hope going into Forbidden Door that, and like beyond that, that he gets more of a spotlight again, because he deserves it. He's been doing great stuff, and it kind of feels like he's still proving himself, which shouldn't be the case. You're the world champion. Like, you should get this TV time regardless. But I don't know. Yeah. I think he's done a great job, and I have enjoyed a lot of it. I think it's been a pretty good build.
Swerve has, like, the most amazing aura and charisma. The past couple of weeks, I've been watching Dynamite with non-fans. Two of my friends here in Toronto who, like, are not wrestling fans, but like they're up for watching with me. And like when Swerve, every week when Swerve comes on TV, like that is when everyone's silent. Like he's the only guy that like stops the conversation. Like the first time they saw him, it's like, who's this? Like, wow, at him. And like they love all his stuff. They love like just his presentation, how fucking cool he is. Like he's so cool. Yeah. He's so cool. I don't know why he's gonna play with Foz, but anyway, he's so cool.
I saw that, I was just like, buddy, what are we doing here? But regardless,
I can't even get my head on that. But he's a great promo, and he carries himself so well. Like he's carrying himself as a champion, and I think it's good that he has a history with Christian and Nick Wayne and all of that. And it's good that his first title defense is letting him kind of go back to that and like wrap things up, because what he did to Nick Wayne, that was brutal when he attacked Nick Wayne in his gym and his training with, you know, with the photo of his father and all that. Like that was so brutal. And he's definitely become like a nicer character since then. So it's interesting him putting him back in that situation for his first challenge, where he can be like, okay, I might not be that evil anymore, but like I haven't lost my edge as well. Yeah. And I cannot wait till Hangman eventually comes back and is back in Swerve's orbit, but you know, Are you ready to do Anarchy in the Arena?
Let's do it. Biggest match of the pay per view, arguably.
Do you think this is going last? I think so. It's following
I really, really wanted Mercedes and Willow to main event. But the fact that they've gone in, that they're doing this whole triple main event, they're definitely putting this on last, which I don't know. I see all the arguments of just like, why would you, like, of course the match that's going to destroy the arena, you would put that on last. They put Stadium Stampede on in the middle of the show at All In, so that's no excuse. I'd like, that is not a valid reason for it to go on last. But
the first Anarchy in the Arena wasn't on last. And
I don't think so, you know.
No, and I was there for that. That was incredible, that one. Mm-hmm. That was so good. But this is, we're going to have something to live up to here. So we have the Elite, Okada, Jack Perry, the Young Bucks versus Team AEW, Bryan Danielson, FTR, and Darby Allin taking the place of Eddie Kingston. Really sad what happened to Eddie. Eddie Kingston fan, and that just fucking sucks. But Darby back after being hit by a bus. Darby, he's got a new pink coat that's really nice, and he had a flamethrower on Dynamite. So
sure did.
He sure did. This match is going to be, I think, completely insane. Like I said, awful what happened to Eddie, but like putting Darby in, he makes sense because he's like a AEW original, but also he's an absolute crazy person that does the wildest things possible in matches that are like that don't have the stipulation, right? He'll do them in just a normal match. So I'm scared at what he's going to do here. Like I'm actually scared. How do you see this one going? What are your thoughts on what they can pull out to make this top the other Anarchy in the Arenas?
I genuinely don't know, because if you've got Darby Allin in this match, and I didn't expect him to throw himself through a glass pane at Revolution, yet he did that and then turned up to the media scrum. I'm horrified at the thought of what the hell he's going to do in Anarchy in the Arena of all matches. But I think that him and Jack Perry are going to get a hell of a lot of spotlight in this match, because I all love to everyone else involved, but they're the young guys. They're the ones that are going to be the ones carrying the teams in terms of doing crazy shit. So they're going to get some real spotlight in this match. And I actually don't know who I think is going to win this. I think it makes sense for the Elite to win here. So I think that's what I'm going to lock in, because they're absolutely going to do Blood and Guts as well. And we all know that Blood and Guts usually goes to the babyface teams. So I think this is going to be absolute carnage. And Darby Allin turned up with a flamethrower. So
where do you go from there?
Where do you go from there? How is he going to top that? I'm terrified, genuinely terrified at the thought of watching this match.
So Jack Perry, how have you felt about him doing this scapegoat character coming in with the Elite? I fucking loved it. Everyone knows I love CM Punk more than anything, but that doesn't mean I don't fucking think that Jack Perry is awesome. And I love how he's leaned into this. I was, what I saw from him, like, you know, in New Japan when he was allowed to wrestle again, I was unsure that he was going to be able to fully pull off the character, because it's not as if this character came to him through anything from wrestling. It was like a real life, he got himself in some real life shit and here we are. However, I think he's done really good since hooking up with the Young Bucks. I've really enjoyed it. Have you enjoyed what he's been doing?
I think that he has really done some incredible character works, his little New Japan run, he really came leaps and bounds with his promo stuff, and that's shown in what he's in AEW for the past month or so. And I think that he's kind of knocked it out of the park so far, and I'm excited to see him in a match like this working as a heel, because we've seen him in some kind of crazy matches as the babyface, doing the Jungle Boy stuff, especially when he was feuding with Christian. But I want to see the flip side. I want to see how deranged he gets as a heel in this role, because teaming with people like the Young Bucks and Okada, they're gonna do some heel stuff. They like, of course they are, but I want to see what the young boy of the group does. I really think that this match is gonna be like a star making moment for him, and he's already a star. So,
do you think he'll use real glass?
I think he'll use real glass. I think we're gonna see it, and it's probably gonna be Darby going through it again. So.
Yeah, actually, and Darby has no problem with real glass, you know. Darby,
yeah, clearly.
Another question I wanted to ask you is, do you think there's going to be any, like, Tony Khan involvement? Tony Khan, actually being a character in this, taking another bump, not just a fist bump, an actual bump again? Or, like, I think the Tony element is what makes me, like, kind of worry, like, about, like, this whole storyline and, like, direction and stuff. Like, the Tony element, I'm not sure if, like, that it can all quickly turn into, like, a, like, bad, you know, rehashing of stuff that we saw many, many years ago in WWE with Vince. And Tony is, you know, I never want to say anything nice about Vince McMahon, but, like, as a performer, I think he had more than Tony has shown, like, as a performer. Yeah. So, yeah, do you have any predictions of Tony Khan having an element in this?
I think he's quite smart about his usage on TV and how much that he should appear and what his role is. I don't think he'll be involved in this match. He might, like, drive them to the arena. They might rehash what they did on Dynamite with Darby Allin, but I don't think that he's going to appear during the actual match, which is for the best, especially because I think the Elite's getting the win here. So,
do you see anyone else making an appearance? I know that the report is that MJF is coming back at Forbidden Door, or if not before, but given that that's out, could you see him? And what side would he be on? What side is he on? I don't know. I've not thought too much about MJF's return because I knew his exit was so not bad, but he definitely left at a time when it was right for him to leave.
Yes.
And a lot has happened since then, even though that was only late December, early January, right? Yeah. So much has happened that the thought of integrating him right now is, like, too hard for my brain, like, to see, like, where he'd go. So, yeah, I don't think that this would be a good time to turn him, to make him come back, even if he just wanted to, you know, like, do it because the report is out there.
Yeah, I don't even know where he would form on this AEW Elite storyline right now because, like, he's probably going to come back as a heel, right? Like, and that would immediately put him on the Elite side because you're not going to be a heel in a line with someone like Darby Allin. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It is quite unfortunate, like, this timing of I can't see where it makes sense for him to fit in this storyline, in the world title picture. Like, I don't know where you put him right now. So even if he is ready, I'd hold off on it for, like, at least a couple of weeks until, like, the ground settles post-pay-per-view.
What is interesting is the Elite are fighting Tony Khan, but MJF is a guy who previously had stuff, like, with Tony Khan, like, brought it in.
Yeah.
Like, when he called Tony a fucking mark, and then also his return, like, playing that voicemail thing.
Yeah.
Like, so, which means that he would have to be Team Elite unless he's had some, like, very massive change of heart. But I don't see him fitting in well to that storyline at all. And I actually think it would be detrimental to Jack Perry because MJF overshadows a lot. Like, he takes up, like, a lot of space, his personality. And the Young Bucks have their own thing going on because they're, like, the EVPs. They're a tag team. That's cool. Okada is Okada. And then Jack being, like, kind of the other one is actually good for him because he has the space to, like, develop his character and be, like, the kind of main, you know, like, AEW guy in that group. So I think it would it would hurt Jack the most if MJF like joined the Elite. And it would just be too weird if he was on the babyface side and being this big like rallying for AEW babyface. Like, I can take that from Danielson and Darby. I wouldn't take it from MJF. MJF has unfinished business with the Undisputed Kingdom. I don't want to see him come back to that either.
We are 5 months removed. Ignore it happened. I don't care anymore. The audience does not care anymore. No one is going to see MJF come back and be like, oh, you've got beef with Adam Cole. No one cares. No. Adam Cole hasn't been there in a minute.
The best thing that could happen for MJF is that if we all got like the Men in Black mind trick and forgot that entire
and just erased. Yeah.
That would be the best thing for him, like, I think. So you see the Elite winning? I think so too. I think that you can't have this like strong heel faction lose on their first time out, especially in a match where it's like anything goes and they're EVPs, so you would think they have like the means to do absolutely anything, and you have like Okada in there. I really hope that Jack is the person that gets the win for the team. And I hope that elevates him. It reminds me of when they did, remember when they did Stadium Stampede and Sammy Guevara got the pin?
Yeah.
And then, but like that was the hype for Sammy Guevara. Like, he still ended up just being same old Sammy Guevara. But yeah, I hope they give Jack like that moment, like him being the one that actually wins it for the team, because the Bucks, they've had a lot. Okada's Okada. But Jack getting that would be really good.
Yeah, I agree. It really is like, it's his match to lose here, like in terms of like impressing the audience. Like, I don't think he's going to struggle at all. I think he's going to have a stellar performance. But like, the weight is on him here from like the perspective of who here needs to stand out.
Mm-hmm. The interesting thing I think about Jack being a heel is when he first turned heel, I absolutely hated it. He was a great babyface because of like his look and music and everything. I hated that. I think there's a video up on my channel about how bad his initial promo was. Like, it was just gross. He did this whole thing of like, I'm bad now. Yeah, I have a girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you didn't think I had sex, but I have. 27. It was so forced and terrible. But the interesting thing now is that like, he did something in real life that like, however you want to say, whether you want to say what he did in real life was heel or face edge, that depends about how you think of CM Punk. But the fact is that he actually did something. Like, he did something that has like enabled him to build a character and prove himself more than any of the like forced shit that he did before. Like, now that we, you know, now that we know what happened with Jack and the whole real glass stuff, oh, Cry Me a River stuff, all of that, like, that has actually helped him, because it's let him tap into something real. And the other stuff that he was tapping into before, like, was not real. It just felt like a young, like, teenager, you know, like, he felt like one of those, like,
felt like he was play acting.
Yeah, he felt like he was doing, like, you know how JoJo Siwa now is like,
oh god, yeah,
you know, like,
that's a really good comparison, actually.
Yeah. It felt like that kind of like forced thing, mm-hmm. where you're like, no, maybe you should just go out and like live your life, and you know, we'll see you grow, rather than like coming back and being like, adult now.
Yeah.
I think that's everything on the pay-per-view, unless you have any like closing comments you want to make on Double or Nothing.
I'm excited for the show. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I don't know whether we see any returns, but God, I would love to see the Machine Guns debut. I don't know where you put them or how you bring them in, but I miss seeing Motor City Machine Guns wrestle on a regular basis, and I really want them in AEW. So please, God, just let them debut here somewhere.
I would like to see them debut as well. I think it would really help the tag division too. I think they have a lot to offer. Every pay-per-view, I'm like, will Britt Baker return? She never does. And I'm it's not even that I like really miss her or anything. And I don't mean that as like a diss on her, but it's not like I'm like missing her or anything. I'm very interested to see how she would integrate into what's going on in AEW right now in the women's division with Tony's character and with Mercedes coming in.
Yeah.
I'm just like interested in that. MJF, as I said, I'd hold off on that one.
Yeah. I would love for Jamie Hayter to come back. I miss her dearly. It's been almost a year since she went out.
Yeah, yeah. Because it was Double or Nothing last year where she lost the belt, right? Because I remember seeing her like after her match that happened, like where she got injured in between that and the actual pay-per-view, and thinking like, oh no, like I think she's really hurt, and that sucked for her so much. And
she was on such a run.
And when you think about All In and people, like I get that, you know, British people want good things to happen to British people at All In. Like I get that. But Soraya, no. But if Jamie Hayter had been the person that was presented as like the British star, the Queen of England, whatever, that would have at least been like right and organic, and I think everyone would have felt really good. So I really hope that Jamie's back before All In at Wembley, because I would love to see her. Like, she could be the person that beats Tony Storm at Wembley, because that I think would be a great way to get the crowd to not cheer for Tony Storm if she's up against Jamie Hayter.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Charlie, how long have I kept you for? Over, oh my God, like nearly an hour and a half. I'm so sorry. Thank you so much. It's been like so much fun having you.
Yeah, this has been a really good time.
I listen to you all the time on Wrestling. So actually, actually talking to you has just felt like we've done this before, even though we haven't done this before at all. But please tell everyone watching like how they can see more from you, where they can follow you and all that stuff. Plug everything.
For sure. So you can see me on the Wrestle Purist channel. I'm part of the Dynamite Review every Thursday at 6:30 Eastern. Take that with a grain of salt because we're never on time. I'm actually missing next week's because of my sister's getting married next Thursday. But after that, I will be back on regularly, and hoping to get back into the groove with the Sunday show on Wrestle Purist, Girls on Graps, and getting that back on the road every Sunday at whatever time we can schedule it for. But keep an eye out on Twitter for updates on that. And you can follow me, my ads on the screen here, if you want to see it. Again, I'm going to be off of Twitter for a little bit because of life is crazy at the moment, but I will be back into wrestling content on a more consistent basis soon. So thanks for having me on today. This has been a lot of fun.
You're welcome. Yeah, everyone, please go follow Charlie and watch her on Wrestle Purist. Follow all the Wrestle Purist stuff. You're the second Wrestle Purist person I've had on because I had Ibu the other month as well. And I love watching you guys and supporting you guys. For me, guys, follow me over on Twitter at Stephanie M. Chase. See him on Instagram. And subscribe to my YouTube, because within the next half an hour, depending on my upload speed, I will have an interview with Anthony Bowens up there. So I would love it if you all supported that. You can find that. It's Stephanie Chase Wrestling. Just type in Stephanie Chase, and I'm the one that's not playing a violin. I'm the one that does the wrestling stuff. But until next time, thank you everyone for watching, and I'll see you again. Bye.
Bye.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.